Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu with co-host Noemi Rojas. And Noemi, we have two special guests in the studio this afternoon.
I want to introduce to the audience Ms. Denise Knight. She's the Executive Director of University Medical Center Foundation. And also with us is Dr. Machen. He is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon with the El Paso Children's Hospital. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you today about the Borderless Giving Campaign. Recently, the, should we call it program?
Yeah.
Received $500,000 anonymously.
From an anonymous donor. Yes.
And that went through your UMC Foundation.
Yes.
I know they wish to remain anonymous, but can you tell us the reason why they gave?
They also gave $500,000 to pediatric cardiology. So there were two separate gifts as anonymous donors. But they responded to Dana's story. She's our poster child for this year. And, you know, I think everybody in this room and throughout El Paso can count on both hands and feet the number of families that we know who have roots in Mexico. I mean, their fathers, mothers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers came from there. And today, those are El Paso business owners, and their children are graduates and business owners. And so, but they still care about their country. They still care about their roots. And so they responded to the same kind of need that you respond to when you hear about children in Darfur or in typhoons and hurricanes and droughts around the world, except these children aren't 3,000 miles away. They're, you know, 3 miles away.
So I take it that the donor comes from the U.S. side, comes from the U.S. side.
It is an anonymous donor. And so by contract, that's not information I'm going to share.
Okay.
Thank you.
But the Borderless Giving Campaign benefits Juarez children only.
This was originally designed, you know, we as a foundation, we raised close to $4 million this year for University Medical Center and El Paso Children's Hospital. And most of those programs are dedicated to children that are here in this community. But this is all a community, you know. I mean, this is a blended community. It's something that I think, you know, we should hold up our head and be proud about. It's a unique, wonderful opportunity. And like I said, these kids are right here in our own community. They have the same kind of need as these children do that when we send money halfway around the world. So it's an opportunity for people to give back to their own community and to care about those kids. I started with the foundation in 2006. There was no foundation. We started with zero programs and $0. And so it was an opportunity to sit back and think about, well, if you could do anything, what would you do and what programs are needed? And this was a chance to develop a program where people could designate their dollars to benefit children of Mexican citizenship who require the specialized care that somebody like Dr. Machen has trained all of his life to do and sometimes travels around the world to provide elsewhere. That's something that doctors love to do and be able to do it right here at home. So that's where that came from.
Dr. Machen, where does the love come from in order to be able to do this? I mean, really and truly, this is such a specialized thing. Orthopedic surgery in of itself is so specialized. But when you get into pediatrics and you see these children like this, I mean, that's a lot of love to be able to sit there and reconstruct these children.
I'll tell you what, a lot of my love for what I do for pediatric orthopedics stemmed from my training as a pediatric orthopedic resident. I did my residency with Shriners Intermountain Hospital in Salt Lake City. And I actually started coming to Juarez in 2001 with the Shriners Hospital. And we actually went over to the fire station over in Juarez and did a clinic over there and saw over 100 children every time we went to that clinic. A lot of those patients we would take back to the United States to help them with various orthopedic conditions. When I started here at Texas Tech and with the El Paso Children's Hospital, I was concerned that I would lose that ability to take care of some of those children who are have so many needs and have conditions that they're just not going to get help for on the other side of the border. Mm-hmm. And so when I learned about this, the foundation that provides the means for us to be able to provide surgery for these kids, I was really excited to be able to start that program. We've been able to take care of a few kids over the last year, and I look forward to taking care of a lot more. There's just such a huge need. There's clubfoot over there that's untreated. You see kids who are 8 or 10 years old walking on the tops of their feet because they've never received any treatment. You see hip dysplasia, children with hips that are dislocated, and they've never been put back in place. And that's an easily treatable condition here in the United States, but it just doesn't get treated over there. There's also conditions like this most recent patient had arthrogryposis, which actually seems to be a little bit of an epidemic over in Juarez. There's quite a bit of it. And that's a condition of movement where the joints don't move enough, and so they get very rigid and stiff, and they have very lack of mobility, so they can't ambulate. And so we've been able to do some exciting things with conditions like that.
There's a unique situation that's been ongoing in Ciudad Juarez and actually in the Juarez Valley over the last 15, 20 years, and it's in regards with water in this canal that's in Zaragoza. They call it Agua Negra. And all it is toxic material that's been laying in this ditch now for the past 20, 30 years. News stories that have been worldwide about this particular thing have led to the type of conditions that you're seeing there. And so it's a not exactly a unique situation. You'll see it as well down in the valley, down in the Rio Grande Valley, in Brownsville, Reynosa, all of that. But it's all because the Mexican government didn't know how toxic that water is, and so now you're seeing the results of this kind of thing, and that's where your foundation comes in to help alleviate problems like this.
And there's also some of this is due to, unfortunately, poor prenatal care, and so it's a combination of factors. But you know, you can't, as a new program, do everything. And so we tried to kind of target an area that we thought was accomplishable, where we could help a number of children and still see something that was effective. If you can help one child just hold a pencil that couldn't hold a pencil before and be able to do their schoolwork or ride a bike or, you know, eventually drive a car, stand up and walk, then we feel like we've achieved what we want to achieve. And Donna is one of those. She is our poster child for this year. And she's very special. She's like a bright light. She's fortunate. She has both of her parents with her. She makes straight A's. She's just a very determined young woman. So she's had two surgeries, one to kind of, and you can probably describe that better than I will. I'll do it in layman's terms, straighten out her legs, and another to kind of straighten out her feet is a short version of that.
How old is she?
She started with...
How old is she?
Eight. No, she was eight when we started.
Yeah. She started with knee flexion contractures of 130 degrees. So her knees were bent so much that she couldn't actually sit in a regular chair even, let alone ambulate or walk.
So just to give people an idea, it almost looks like she's sitting like crisscross applesauce, how I tell my children.
Her legs were completely curled up under her, yeah, right. In a rigid fashion. And she learned to kind of scoot along the floor. She has great social skills. She's very – makes friends easily. So she had – you know, she'd really learned how to work really well with what was a tough situation. Had to be carried into a bathroom to brush her teeth or to do so. Has figured out how to feed herself, where her parents were originally told she wasn't going to be able to do – give up on all those things. And they just very humble folks and very, very simple folks that love their child enough to be able to continue to kind of work with this. So they were very excited when her case came to our attention.
Right. In addition to the knee flexion contractures, she also had severe club feet. So her feet were not in a position to be able to put a shoe on them. And so any type of ambulation would have been impossible. So we did extension osteotomies, where we actually were able to extend her knees over 45 degrees. And then also we used small plates to use a principle called guided growth, to use her remaining growth to help straighten out her legs. So we slow the growth down on the front of the knee and let it keep growing on the back, which eventually over time will give us even additional correction of her knees. And then I also did a surgery to correct her club feet so that she has what we call plantigrade feet that you can put shoes on. And now she's actually able to walk around with a small toy, pushing a toy, and she's ambulating on her own.
A lot of people would ask how the tendons and the ligaments are coming along with these surgeries in order to be able to, as she grows, be able to walk.
Yeah, this is a condition where it's kind of unfortunate. They have totally normal intelligence, but as far as the joints are concerned, they don't move much. So all we've really done is change the angles. The joints still don't move much, but the joints are in a better position to allow her to ambulate. So the tendons and ligaments have remained static.
Now, does she have something going on with her arms also?
She also does, yeah. It's the same condition as afflicting her upper extremities. She doesn't have good motion of her elbows or her wrists.
But she can write. In fact, her writing, I'm ashamed to say, is her printing is better than mine, okay? She wrote me a note, and I looked at it like, my. But she's one of those kids that came to our attention, and through Canal 44. We've done some work with them. We've also worked with Integra and with Los Dias, the orphanage over there, and with the DIF. And so with this gift, we're able to help many more children than we would kind of gather enough to for one surgery, and then we fundraise again. And so we're very excited about accelerating this project and being able to help many more children this year.
Well, I know this program started 2 years ago. How many kids do you think you've helped in those 2 years now?
We've really only done four surgeries. And so one of them was a young lady who literally had an extra thumb. She'd stopped going to school, you know, because she was horribly made fun of. And that was one of our first ones. It was fairly simple by comparison to what Dr. Machen just did here. And but was back in school afterwards. And one of those simple things that we could do where we worked out our processes, trying to kind of understand, because the days are over where you can kind of casually go over. Still, we hope they come back, okay? But right now it's difficult, obviously, for physicians to go over and do what they used to do there in the same fashion, but they still have every bit of the same desire to do it. And we have great capabilities here now, so much more than what we used to have. But we can't really hold clinics over there easily. We'd like to get to that point where we can, and we'll still, Dr. Machen and I both have a dream of being able to do that again. But you can't casually take a kid up to the top of the bridge and wave a piece of paper and get them over. We present medical records to the physician team in orthopedics, and with enough information for them to say, well, this, there's nothing here that we see that keeps them at least from being a good candidate. And until at that point, then we go through the visa passport process to get them over so that they can actually be examined face to face. And until then, we're not completely green lighted until we're able to do that. But it's been a good process so far, and we continue to refine that, and we're interested in kind of just continuing to tweak those knobs so that we can build up the volume that we want to do, because we'd like to be able to do a couple dozen children this year.
Big picture, how much would your foundation need in order to be able, on a yearly basis, to be able to continue to serve more than just four children a year?
Well, $500,000 gift. I mean, we don't know. Each surgery is a little different.
Right.
We have discounted rates. We have some of the physicians that do give some pro bono services, radiology and that kind of thing. Everybody has worked with us to try and allow us to use the state-of-the-art facilities that are at El Paso Children's Hospital and the incredible talent that we have available here to be able to benefit as many children as possible. And so we hope to do a couple dozen children this next year and possibly more. And so we're continuing to refine the process where we can move the passport and visa process more quickly. We now have received some additional kind of support for that so that we can just keep the pipeline full and keep serving as many children as possible.
I'm asking because I guess what I'm trying to do here is trying to get our audience to understand that a donation, any donation, would help you serve these children and keep the pipeline going, be able to serve all of these.
That is very true. And they can go to www.borderlessgivingcampaign.com, and there's a place there for them to donate and see some of what we've talked about here. And any donation does make a difference. It all adds up. I will tell you, Children's Miracle Network on the U.S. side is done a dollar at a time. And we have Children's Miracle Network Mexico, which is building up now with some retail and merchant type locations. And so it all adds up. We've raised close to $4 million this year overall through about 50 different fundraising efforts, and that doesn't include 300 Children's Miracle Network locations across the county. So at the end of every dollar, there is a real family and a real child right here in our own community that's benefited. None of our dollars go to administrative services. There's program expenses, but every dollar is passed on through to the hospitals. That's what we're here to do.
Dr. Machen, when you get into the nuts and bolts of being a pediatric ortho surgeon, it is quite specialized, but can you call on an entire network around the country to be able to assist with your endeavor?
Absolutely. I attend conferences, especially the Pediatric Orthopedic Society of North America, where we have a nice network of physicians who are even more subspecialized than just pediatric orthopedics. So if there's a condition that I don't do frequently enough to feel comfortable with, I certainly have colleagues. Texas Scottish Rite Hospital in Dallas is very close. The place where I trained in Salt Lake City, Primary Children's Hospital. But the vast majority of what we have over in Mexico, between Dr. Abdelgawad and myself, we can handle just about any condition that these kids would have.
An intriguing study to be sure, and one would it be an ongoing publish of papers constantly in order to illuminate problems around the world through your work. both of you. It's an intriguing thing. And Noemi, where do we go from here?
Something you said that just like turned a light bulb on was helping the children involves radiologists. You mentioned radiologists. Mm-hmm. It involves anesthesiologists. So I'm assuming it also involves the aftercare, like the rehab therapists.
Yes, and some of that is done in their back in their own country or in their own community. We make arrangements for that, or we make arrangements for braces and different medical equipment that they need. But one of the things you just referenced is, you know, those who have been part of the Children's Hospital effort for many years know that it took 4 attempts to get a Children's Hospital here. Many others have tried, a couple of different hospitals. And so once this was approved, one of the really primary motivating factors, and these are the kinds of things that we all looked ahead and wanted to be able to see happen, and so it's thrilling today to see this take place. But there were 19 pediatric specialists in El Paso at the time of the campaign in November of 2007, and the drum that was beat over and over was, you'll never be able to recruit, you'll never be able to recruit, we've never been able to recruit, you'll never be able to recruit. And this is the only place in the nation today with a new 4-year independent medical school, a new children's hospital. There are very few new children's hospitals in the United States today. Most of them are 100, 200 years old. You know, a lot of them, and on an international border with unique opportunities for research like you're referencing, and it's been a game changer. We've almost quadrupled the number of pediatric specialists in El Paso, and Children's Hospital is not 2 years old yet. It'll be 2 years old on Valentine's Day in February. And so you can see how dramatic this has been, and it gives this opportunity for Dory Duncan was just talking, the CEO of the Children's Hospital, the other day about walking into the physician's lounge, and there were 6 specialists sitting around a table discussing one case together. And that is what you want. You want that synergy. It's a dramatic improvement in the level of pediatric care here in El Paso. But, a border impacts all of our lives a great deal, but it's still an invisible line. And a sick kid is a sick kid is a sick kid. And so this was a target area where we felt like we could make a difference, and it's a good place to start. And we're really, really excited with the results, and we can really see the difference in what's happening.
You have partners much like our broadcast partner, Canal 44, who help identify because mm-hmm. they're out in the public right. all the time.
Right.
And you have the other facilitators who are able to do that as well. But if there is someone in our listening audience who've been flying under the radar, how do they contact
you? Call 521-915-521-7229 and hit 0 for the operator. They'll get you to the right location. Margarita Enriquez is the program manager for the Borderless Giving Campaign. And we also have a sister organization in Mexico, Fundación UMC de México. There's a tax treaty that allows people who do want to give on both sides of the border, they can decide where they want to give. And we can give a tax deduction in either location. So we do have a presence there that we hope to expand. And there's some other areas that we look at on in the future. But right now, there's Dr. Abdelgawad, there's Dr. Cruz and Dr. Machen. These are 3 pediatric orthopedic surgeons that are just really a gift to these children. And so we're very excited about expanding this program in the next year. And we have to thank our anonymous donor for the part they played in this. They've changed the lives of many children with their gift.
I agree. El Paso Children's Hospital is a really exciting place to work. I've been there for a year and a half now, and everybody there is just really upbeat. They're excited about where they're working. They're thrilled to be working with children, and it's just a real positive place to work. We're not quite up to capacity yet. We need to be busier, and so we need to take care of more children. Dr. Abdelgawad and myself still are not doing as many surgeries as we feel like we're capable of doing. So anything that we can do, either from the other side of the border or from the U.S. side, to bring these children in who are deserving and who are needful of these services, we would greatly appreciate.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I was asking for contact information, because there are a few people out there. You know, our listening audience touches not only the affluent and the semi-affluent, but, you know, you have the grandparents who know that their grandchildren should be having this kind of surgery, but they're afraid to reach out. And we're here to say, don't be afraid. You need a phone.
And this program currently is targeted to things like, and he mentioned some, but to mention them again, club hand, club foot, hip dysplasias, syndactyly, which is like web hand, and related conditions like that. And so,
I can mention a few more.
Go ahead.
Any type of angular deformities we do real well with, because kids are growing. They're not like adults. They have growing skeletons, and so we can take advantage of that growth. to put small plates in certain areas, almost like putting braces on your teeth, but it's putting braces on your bones to get those bones to grow straight, whether it's a torsional problem where they're in-toeing really badly or out-toeing, or they have angular deformities like knock knees or bow legs. We know how to take care of that. Limb length discrepancies where one leg's shorter than the other for whatever reason, whether it's a hip that's out of socket or just a congenital abnormality of the limb, we can take care of that. Scoliosis, that they have a curvature of the spine. Hip conditions like perthes or slip capital femoral epiphysis. All kinds of knee conditions. I'm also board certified in sports medicine, so I like to take care of those children who have athletic or sports injuries as well.
And he's describing pediatric orthopedics as a whole, obviously, because some of those conditions are not part of the borderless giving program. But it's those are you know, we're trying to take things that we can accomplish within just one or two surgeries, because we want to be able to, you know, if we expand too much beyond that, it gets complicated. We want to know that we're doing something that's accomplishable. But there's not much that Dr. Machen can't do. I think that's really what it comes down to. These guys are spectacular, and in our world they're kind of like rock stars, you know. But that's what we're attracting here in El Paso because of what's happening at El Paso Children's Hospital. And so for children of Mexican citizenship who have some related orthopedic condition, call us. We'll put them into the pipeline through the process, and Dr. Machen is part of the group that looks at the case to make sure it's something that fits our profile for what we're doing. And you can tell he's eager to do anything and capable of doing anything.
Dr. Machen, tell us about where you're from, where you grew up, and how you ended up here.
Okay, I grew up in Lake Tahoe, California, and I went to school in Utah at Brigham Young University. After my first year of college, I actually served a mission for my church in Venezuela. So I got to learn Spanish, which has been really, really helpful for working here in El Paso. So I'm able to speak with the people semi-fluently. And then I went to medical school at Uniformed Services University in Bethesda, Maryland, which is the military's medical school. From there, I did an internship in Denver. I was a flight surgeon for 3 years in the Army, and then did my residency at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Following that, I did the Children's Pediatric Orthopedic Fellowship in Salt Lake City. And then I was sent to El Paso, where I was a pediatric orthopedic surgeon in the Army for an additional 10 years. I retired from the Army a year and a half ago, and my kids have essentially grown up here. We've lived here for 11 and a half years. They've gone through the high school system and the elementary middle school system. So we decided to stay. We liked the community. We felt very welcomed here. And there was a tremendous opportunity to be part of this children's hospital and to be faculty at Texas Tech. So we're committed to this.
And
community.
I think the people who have been part of this project for so long, when we were attempting to make this happen, can have the proper kind of wondrous response to what he just described there, because we had, you know, if you only have one of each specialty, they're on call for themselves 24, which is what we had in many instances before. They were on call for themselves 24 hours a day. So eventually you just wear them out, you know, and they go someplace where there's beach and water instead of just beach. But we had one pediatric intensivist in El Paso. Children's Hospital has 9 today. There was no pediatric anesthesiologist in El Paso. We had adult anesthesiologists taking care of these little bitty babies, which they did a great job of, but not really the level of care that we want for our children. We have 3 pediatric anesthesiologists. There was only one surgeon. We have 3 pediatric surgeons. There was only one pediatric endocrinologist. Obviously, child diabetes is a huge issue along in this community. And we have 5 recruited that are coming in over a staggered period of time. They don't even produce that many, you know, in a year in the United States. So very highly competed for. And that's just an example of what's happened. And so there's just this really really miraculous. That's why we call the gala we do for the Children's Hospital the Milagro Gala, and our naming rights program for the hospital the Milagro Campaign, because we really feel like that's what's happening right here.
Yeah, I think that for us, the community, we're so used to thinking of ourselves as a maquila community or military community. And what I'm trying to do by getting more medical stories out on the air is I want us to start thinking of ourselves as a medical community. We have a medical school. We have a children's hospital. And we are proliferating in the life sciences at UTEP, at Texas Tech, with
4 nursing
research
schools in El Paso now.
And it's amazing. You're right. We're growing like a weed. And I love these stories that I read about and that we talk about on the air. Thank you so much for what you do, both of you.
Thank you for your service to your country. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for the two of you, and thank you for listening to El Paso Primetime.
We've been talking to Denise Knight, the Executive Director of the University Medical Center Foundation, and you can find them physically inside El Convento of Loreto Academy at Hardaway and Trowbridge. Or you can phone her at 521-7229 and toll free 877-736-7229 for the University Medical Center Foundation. Their website is umcfoundationelpaso.org. We'll have all of this on our website here shortly. Dr. Machen is also a pediatric orthopedic surgeon with the Children's Medical Center, one of several pediatric orthopedic surgeons that El Paso is very lucky to have here in the Sun City. The Borderless Giving campaign is on that website, umcfoundationelpaso.org. El Paso Primetime now continues with movies for grown-ups, courtesy of Primetime in Washington, D.C., and the AARP.
Walt Disney wooing the mother of Mary Poppins. I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grown-Ups.
P.L. Travels right here in my office. After all these years, almost 20 of them?
Hmm. Yes.
Now here you are, and look at you. Oh, I could just eat you up.
That wouldn't be appropriate.
Tom Hanks is Walt Disney, and Emma Thompson is Mary Poppins author P.L. Travers in Saving Mr. Banks, the true story of how Disney convinced the prim and proper author to let him bring her creation to the screen. Saving Mr. Banks is not only revealing, it's funny and warm and at times kind of sad, and it works thanks to the deft direction of John Lee Hancock. We screened Saving Mr. Banks at our Movies for Grown-Ups Film Festival in Los Angeles recently, and when I sat down with Hancock, I wanted to know how he got such a plum assignment.
It's a great iconic story. What makes you the guy to direct it?
Wow. That is a loaded question because I begged and pleaded to get the job. I was hoping that...
Maybe you were the loudest, perhaps.
Maybe. I read the script and absolutely adored it.
Disney is a company that fiercely protects and defends its brands and characters and figures and everything. Did you ever get a feeling that the suits were looking over your shoulder on this one?
You know what? From the time I read the first 10 pages, I thought, oh, this will never happen the way it's written. This will never occur. And so when I went in, I said, I really think this is a very fair portrayal of Walt Disney. Very human, makes me love him, but fair. You guys love the script. Obviously, you're making the movie. Are we going to be able to make the movie? And they said, yeah. The whole time I kept thinking at some point they're going to come and say, yeah, but we're going to lose this and lose this, because it is, you know, it is their grandfather. He is the brand. He is the icon. But every step of the way, I'm not going to say there weren't discussions, but every step of the way I said, here's what I think. And they said, OK, go for it. And then when I finished the movie and I was really pleased with it without taking anything out of the script, Bob Iger saw it and said, you've done well.
Saving Mr. Banks, starring Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson, and directed by John Lee Hancock, is in theaters. I'm Bill Newcott.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Past shows of El Paso Primetime are on our website, ktep.org. Click on the Listen Archives button in order to find your favorite show, or for past shows from other series like Perspectives, Good to Grow, On Film, State of the Arts, and more. Even Focus on Campus as well. Thanks for listening to El Paso Primetime. We'll do it all over again next Saturday at 1. Time now for Perspectives. Have a great weekend.